Once again, I'm very thankful to be with you this morning. Very thankful. Just a short testimony. I'm very glad it's like coming to step into the house of the Lord and to worship with each of you. It's like a breath of relaxation, if you will, from the world. I seem to feel the pangs of impatience in some of my daily tasks, maybe because of things that were not going to according to my plans. But there were other reasons, I know, for why things had to go the way they were at work, mainly. But we all face that. We all face impatience. We all need that gift for patience. It's something I think we work on. We pray for it. You know, I've heard it said that that's what the Lord's going to try you with it in order to build it. And if you, in the things that you pray for, you're going to be put with tasks or given tasks in order to help to build it. Maybe that's the way it's supposed to work. But I know that the impatience or the frustrations I was feeling with yesterday, even as I went into work for the few hours I went in, have been washed away. And feel, I believe, a joy. I believe that's a gift of a blessing of God, and I receive it, and I thank you. I thank my God, I should say. But I'm also thankful for your prayers. I asked interest in your prayers this morning that we ask for many gifts. We ask for many things, don't we? We pray for many things. You and I pray for many things. We ask the Lord for maybe direction. We ask the Lord for strength. We ask the Lord for patience. We ask Him for forgiveness. And all these things are spiritual. They are spiritual. But you know something? As we're building and growing and maturing in the body of Christ, we find that the spiritual transcends to the temporal. As we were reading in our Sunday school lesson this morning, and that the blessings and the crying out that Nephi was doing in order to help to preserve his brethren, even as his father had just passed on unto his reward, exclaiming about where it would preserve him spiritually and bless him and bless his descendants, because we know that the blessings, those gifts unto them, are going to be to help temporarily. We're physical flesh. In the course of events of our lives, we would that they would be blessed because of the temporal things that we take care of every day, aren't they? They're temporal things. So we want to be blessed spiritually, that these things can be handled, you know, temporarily in our lives. Such as the work of the gospel. The work of the gospel throughout the world is a spiritual thing, but it is talking about the temporal lives of people, isn't it? It's going to change the course of the events of the lives of the children of men throughout the world. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the restored gospel of Jesus Christ. It is spiritual, and God is going to reveal Himself and make bare His arm in a temporal sense, that people will be able to see and to know what it is, the power of the Lord God Almighty doing the work. But we're going to see the course and events of lives that are being changed. Your life has been changed from the spiritual realm that is blessing you temporally and moving your life temporally, isn't it? There is a spiritual force called a Holy Spirit sent forth from the Father and of His Son, Jesus Christ, that is moving your life temporally, and to cause you to make decisions temporarily in your life, cause you to change course in your way of thinking that others may think foolishness, but cause blessing in your life, and cause your life to bring you joy, doesn't it? Temporarily, because of the spiritual. And so there are spiritual gifts that the Lord talks about. You know, that He is willing to bless you. And He's willing to bless you this very moment. And we depend upon Him blessing us in the body of Christ, blessing us individually as well. But we're also going to see, and there's some scriptures I want to bring forth that talk about how important it is where your individual lives are going to be very important to the blessing of the body. Okay? So we'll take a look at that a little bit too. Now, are those that we know that have had great things bestowed upon them in gifts? You know, Joseph of old that was sold into Egypt by his brethren, and where he acknowledged later on, he was given the gift of wisdom to overlook the situation and know there was a blessing and plan of God that he was to be there to be able to forgive his brethren, whom he could have had killed on the spot as they'd come into Egypt that were looking for food. It was a means of being able to sustain and bless and to save Israel. What? Temporarily, physically. It would bless them and sustain and save them physically because of spiritual gifts. Joseph had been given the gift of what? Dreams. He'd also been given the gift of great wisdom. He was put in second only to Pharaoh, and to be able to guide Egypt in the famine to come. His interpretation of dreams of the famine yet to come. So it was a spiritual thing, but it was going to bless them physically. And a prophecy. We were reading this morning, just after it was talked about in the Book of Mormon, where Lehi was talking about Joseph of old and prophesying over his son Joseph, his youngest, who was born in the wilderness. We read a little more about an insight into the prophecies of Joseph, Israel's son. He was also given to know of his future generations, even to the latter days, and restoring them to their God, coming out of obscurity, but the knowledge of the Savior, Jesus Christ, and that great latter-day work from Joseph of old. And so, we find where the prophet Daniel, and I believe there were prophecies of Daniel's that haven't yet to be fulfilled. They have yet to be fulfilled. He sealed them up till the time of the end, he was told. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Are we in that day? Sure, you bet we are. You bet. I believe it. That we're in that day. And we know he was given dreams, wasn't he? When he was there in prison. He wasn't in prison, but he was taken and he was brought there into to Babylon. He wasn't in prison. But he was a prophet, and that he was to interpret dreams and brought before Nebuchadnezzar. They learned of one that could interpret, but he was also given visions. And those visions, once again, I believe, are coordinating with many of what we're reading in the Book of Revelation. The best that we can cipher. Which, once again, that we'd have the spirit of discernment in order to be able to, and wisdom to cipher the things that are coming down the path now from spiritual that are going to change the direction and course of events of our lives. We'll be called to sacrifice and cause to change our way of doing things in our creature comforts, what? Temporarily. But we would want to be sustained, so it's going to be the spiritual, there are going to be spiritual gifts given to the Lord to help us. And I have to believe that as the tribulation which I believe we're coming into, we're going to need to be warned. We're going to need to be directed, and that is from spiritual gifts that may bless us temporarily. We may be told, any one of you could be told to move, get out of an area. We may be told to gather into a spot to preserve us. There's a man that's not here among us this day that this was given such a dream about having to such a time of tribulation. He was telling me of a dream that he had. This has been a couple of months ago. And telling me where about having to physically had people that were searching for God's people, willing to what? Destroy them. Where they had to band together in order to be able to physically sustain themselves and protect themselves and possibly hide. Such a time could very well be coming. And we've had, that's not just that person, I've heard that more and more from others that's had such visions or dreams, if you will. Lehi prophesies dreams and visions as well. The prophet Lehi warning of Jerusalem being destroyed. And we also see, I believe, that it is his son Jacob that also sings, says, I know that Jerusalem has been destroyed. So he was given a gift as well, wasn't he? But according to obedience, they didn't give them to their wickedness, into their wickedness. Laman and Lemuel would not have that. We find if we keep the commandments of the Lord, as Lehi was even telling his son, if you keep the commandments of the Lord, he will what? He will bless you. And we know he was given a dream. He says, and he said, I have dreamed a dream. In other words, I have seen a vision. And of course, he had open vision too when he was talking about his vision as well as Nephi. But they are given these gifts. King Mosiah. He was given the gift of prophecy and of also being a seer. Now, remember the plates of Limhi were taken before him, and he was able to translate them by the gift and power of God. It says, and Ammon says, I know such a man that can do this. He had told Limhi, I know such a man. He's a prophet, but he's a seer. It's that a seer is a prophet also, and he's revealing. We know that Joseph Smith was given this gift as well, in order to be able to translate the plates of brass, or the plates that he was given. In order to be able to bring to light. Talks about that in Isaiah in the 29th chapter. Talks about that in the Book of Mormon also. That he was also given this gift. Not that these men should be lifted up above an ordinary man. Moses was given a gift of prophecy, given a gift of wisdom, given a gift of strength. Ordinary men called to do extraordinary things, being obedient into the hand of the Almighty God, cause a blessing to come forth, that God may, it would be a blessing to others. And he was using people to do this. And that's why each one of us in the body of Christ, we're going to be reading, we're going to be very necessary. Each and every one of us here, very necessary. From the more seasoned among us to the youngest among us, are going to be very necessary. God uses all his children. In their willful obedience and humbleness, the gifts of the Father can bring blessings. Wisdom, warning, direction. Yeah, I've got warning down there twice, don't I? Yes, I do. Well, anyway, he gives us a lot of warning. You know something? We kind of need that, don't we? seems like many things are packaged a little differently, but the same old sins or same old temptations or the same old troubles that people seem to get into comes around again if people don't learn the first time. So we need what, maybe more warning. I mean, that's what I was thinking. But as he wills within his will and direction and way, okay, the purpose and use for his people. You notice that when gifts were given throughout the scriptures, such as a Joseph, such as a Moses, you know, such as a Lehi, such as a Mosiah, they're for what? They're for the use among their people, the people of the Lord. And you know, some of them will be a blessing to people who are not of God, that maybe they may come to him. They will know of him. They will know of his power, his love, especially saving mercy and grace through Jesus Christ, his Son. And so these gifts, and as a matter of fact, talks about some of the scriptures that we're going to be going to about the gift of tongues would be to those of the unlearned and the of those outside the body of Christ. It'll be assigned to them. We know that through in Israel, we know of prophets of old when they were to solve a matter. In the nations round about would come to the prophets, such as an Isaiah, such as a Jeremiah, such as an Elijah, and their answer says, "Of course, let them come. We're going to solve this for them. What? So they may know that there is a prophet in Israel, that the Lord's prophet is in Israel, and the Lord's strength and power and might is there. They will know." They will know. All the signs and wonders of when they came out from Egypt and all the things that were done, the knowledge of them ran ahead of them to the people that were in the land ahead. And they feared because the God of Israel was among his people. We're going to find that example in the scriptures yet today. And this day we're going to read that. I want you to read with me, please, over in the book of Alma, in the 12th chapter, page 362. Alma, in the 12th chapter, page 362, I'd like to read verses 1 through 9. And this is the account of the sons of Mosiah and Alma. Alma Jr. had met them as he was coming back from his labors, and so were they. The sons of Mosiah were coming back from their labors, but they were changed. The course of the events of their lives were changed because God was now using them. Before, they were working to destroy the church, and the Lord said, "You will not be a means of destroying my people, my church, and the joy in them." But now, after a course of event changed in their life, and the angel of the Lord had stood before them. And now they desired that others would want to know the marvelous light through Christ. And now it came to pass that as Alma was journeying from the land of Gideon southward away to the land of Manti, behold, to his astonishment, he met the sons of Mosiah journeying toward the land of Zarahemla. Now these sons of Mosiah were with Alma at the time the angel first appeared unto him. Therefore Alma did rejoice exceedingly to see his brethren. And what added more to his joy, they were still his brethren in the Lord, yea, and they had waxed strong in the knowledge of the truth. For they were men of sound understanding. They had searched the Scripture diligently that they may know the Word of God. Now this is not all. They had given themselves to much prayer and fasting. Therefore they had the spirit of prophecy and the spirit of revelation. And when they taught with power and authority, even as with the power and authority of God. So it's, you know, it's one thing to teach and to preach. It's another thing that the Spirit of the Lord needs to be working there in order to, that there is that authority of God. That's why we know it's important, especially, that there is that holy calling unto his ministry. The Lord will bless him, and there is that authority that the Lord vests in them to preach and teach and to minister in the covenants of the gospel. And we also need to pray for your ministry. We ask for that, that it's a spiritual blessing and a gift, but that the people may be blessed. Pray for your shepherds. And they had been teaching the Word of God for the space of 14 years among the Lamanites, having much success of bringing many to the knowledge of the truth. Now we read about that in our Sunday school this morning, where that when Lehi had talked to the sons of his two oldest boys, to their children, said, you know, that if there's a cursing on you, I'm taking it from you and putting it on the heads of your parents, that there may be a blessing to you and your descendants. And we find here where that's being much the case among the Lamanite people, that there could be success in the Lord. There will not be that spirit of unbelief and hardened rebellion with them, yet there was in many of them. Yea, by the power of their words, many were brought before the altar of God to call on His name and to confess their sins before Him. These are the circumstances which attended them in their journeyings, for they had many afflictions. They did suffer much, both in mind and body, such as hunger, thirst, fatigue, also much labor in the spirit. So we see that also that with gifts of God, it takes a lot, some effort, takes some sacrifice, a lot of sacrifice many times, fasting and praying, devotion. Not just say, okay, Lord, here I stand. Not that the Lord can't. They said they had labored. They had labored hard in the gospel and sought to know and search the scriptures that they might know. And the Lord had blessed them with wisdom and great understanding and the spirit of prophecy and of revelation because they were obedient unto His commandments. And they were going on living their lives in faith. So there we find the spiritual changed the course of events on the lives of those young men. And then they were blessed. He has changed the course of events of our lives, hasn't He? He has brought us here to this day. We're sitting in here because we have a faith in the knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. And there are gifts here in this room and in the sound of my voice as well. There are gifts. I'm going to read something about them. Also, here coming. Please turn with me over into 2 Corinthians in the 12th chapter. Let's read verses 10 through to 13. And here we find the testimony of the Apostle Paul in and among the Corinthian church, and we know that he has in many ways in 2 Corinthians once again apologizing for the whipping he had to give them in 1 Corinthians about the things he had to set straight by what the gifts and wisdom of God. And he says in verse 10, he says, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities, in persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I became a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you, but for in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Even though he's given great responsibility, he says that just like Jesus said, if there's one great among you, make him your servant. He said, truly what the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. So the Lord was using Apostle Paul in many ways in the areas that he was to go to, giving him wisdom even to discern what the needs were in those areas. You know, we had those that didn't believe in the resurrection. We had those that wanted to see some new thing, the Epicureans and the Stoics. Don't ask me to repeat that three times fast. He had to, and amongst another area, he had to talk about the creation to them. Others, he talked about the difference of the old law to the new law because of the wonderful mercy and grace that they were to receive and not to be bound from the old law. Others, he needed to talk to about the circumcision. So he needed to have a spirit of discernment and that gift of wisdom to know All right? And then and he was being blessed. And so certainly the blessed and miracle of being revived from death, they thought he was dead and being pulled out of the city. And because he'd been stoned, he said, well, I believe these three times, they thought he was dead. And so he received the gift and blessing there, didn't he? And so he was also given the gift of assurance, he says, to be absent from you is to be with the Lord. How about assurance? Do you have a peace? That's a gift. And we find that through sins, like it talks about in the Book of Mormon, it says, why would you let the devil take away your joy and your peace? And that's how that can work. It said that I would joy, but that my sins are harrowed up in my mind. Nephi said, and he was to be righteous. And I'm sure he was, but still, being sinful flesh. Like Isaiah said, that though my sins be as scarlet, they shall be as wool. Are they crimson? Maybe it's crimson or scarlet. I think it's crimson, isn't it? The red was crimson. And but Paul, the signs and wonders among them. 1 Corinthians in the 14th chapter, please turn with me. And I'd like to read just the first verse. And now in this particular chapter, and we'd studied this in our one of our Wednesday nights, talking about tongues and interpretation, and we believe that they can be, and they can be in our midst, and should be in the body of Christ. And then it talks about especially that there be an interpreter. That's a gift of God, so that things may be done decently and in order. And it is to edify, and it is a sign. For a sign to them that believe not, it says. But, first verse, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather you may prophesy. Now, he says, desire spiritual gifts. We would see more of them. Now, I'm not saying that we do not. I believe we do see many wonderful things, even in this congregation. But there have been many wonderful gifts. There have been many wonderful blessings. And we always praise the Lord for every one of them. And our praises must exceed far beyond for who our Lord is in His majesty and His holiness. And the Lord will. He will bless His people, and these gifts are to help to build and sustain this congregation in the body of Christ. What I wanted to read, the reason I read this verse is that to us, you and I, desire spiritual gifts. Desire them. Pray for them. Pray that they may be in a more abundance and usable in this congregation. There may be those of us that have even something that needs to be prayed over and fasted over, that it may be brought out and exemplified in the body of Christ, to the usage of the body of Christ. Absolutely. And the Lord will use, and we may be a fit vessel for the Master's use. So it's sanctified and meet for the Master's use, as Paul was talking to Timothy. Desire these gifts. In the 14th chapter, in the 12th verse, says, even so ye, forasmuch as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel, what? To the edifying of the church. So not that you would have any pomp or circumstance. Oh, look what so-and-so said. Oh, they must be that wonderful person, and they should be coveted and this and that and the other. It is the blessing of the Lord, and we praise the Lord for these things. And not to put anyone on a particular pedestal in our congregation, in the church. Anything like that. But that what? To the edifying of the church. The edifying of the body of Christ. To His people. To the work. To the gospel work. This is the thrust in the matter of the church of Christ. is the salvation of the souls of the children of men, that it may be a blessing to the work of the gospel. Turn with me, please, over on the page 673, third book of Nephi. And we find here that this is where they were asking what they should call the church. And Jesus is really giving them a good example. But in my feeling, it's like he's telling them, you should have known these things. You should have known that question. But I think it's a wonderful question asked, that he may answer it. But let's listen to what he says therewith. Verse 19. Therefore, what you shall do, you shall do it in my name. Therefore, you shall call the church in my name, and you shall call upon the Father in my name, that he will bless the church for my sake. And how be it my church, save it be called in my name. For if a church be called in Moses' name, then Moses' church. If it be called in the name of a man, then it will be the church of a man. But if it be called in my name, then it is my church. If so be, they are built upon my gospel. We find that recipe. It is very important. It can't be another gospel. It has to be his gospel. And just like he talks about in Matthew in the 24th chapter, that this gospel of the kingdom should be preached in all the world for a witness. And I'm not, you know, there is the announcing of Jesus Christ in many people in the world. But the scriptures declare it must be this gospel of the kingdom, his gospel of the kingdom, the fullness of it, which the Book of Mormon also declares, the fullness of the restored gospel is what we preach in all the world for the witness, and then the end shall come. That is what it declares. In all the scriptures of the Book of Mormon, it must be the fullness of the gospel, that people should be fully informed and know all the words of Christ. And then the end shall come. That is the truth of the matter. They shall build upon my gospel. And that is the thrust of the restoration in the Church of Christ, is the restored gospel. And that is the truth of it. It says, and so, if it so be that the church is built upon my gospel, then will the Father show forth his own works in it. And so we find that he is going to bless it. He will hear you. In the name of Christ, he will hear you. And if it's built upon his gospel, and the Father will show forth his own works in it. There is more to these gifts, these blessings, and they will be for the thrust of the work of the worldwide work of Zion. The worldwide work of the bulwarks, the foundational work of Zion, the restoration of his people, and then eventually the lands of their inheritance. But there needs to be, there's a foundational work. And each of you, each of those, like this morning, within the sound of my voice, are very intricate and important in that worldwide work. And our lives matter. The things that we do, the things that we will see and we will go and take a hold of in our life, if it brings sin into our lives, it is going to affect the workings of the body of Christ. It's going to affect your congregation. It can affect the level of the blessings. What do you think that the thrust of 1 Corinthians was about? Was about where the Apostle Paul was setting aright many of the things that had crept in there. And he was coming to make order. That's why he mentions there in 1 Corinthians 14 chapter, things be done decently and in order. They had to set that straight. And I'm sure he was using that gift of God of wisdom and of revealment to set it aright. He said, I am sorry that I made you... I feel bad that I made you sorry by letter, I think he was saying in 2 Corinthians. But basically said, you know something, if I don't see that result, I'm going to back up the bus and I'm going to go at it again. Why? because God loves you. He loves us. But using those gifts and talking about those gifts, and he said, desire them and pray for them that we may see them. But it's for the edification of the body of Christ. And Jesus said, they will be in my church. Now, also back in 1 Corinthians in the 12th chapter, please turn with me. And I'm going to read two portions of this, and it is wonderful to go through, and please do use that and go through it all. But I'm going to start at verses 4 through 12. There are diversities of gifts. There are different gifts, you know. But the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, or how they're carried out, and how the way they're put into people's lives. But the same Lord. And the Lord may work to help to deliver a gift to any one of you, but may do it in a different way. There are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. And that is where your condition, what your life is, where if there is the purging of sin from your life and transgression and working on to holiness, as Jesus talked about, where the Spirit can work and move in your life. And there will be gift and there will be blessing. If we have a sinful body here, how is the Lord going to work? Unless some had come in that were to be able to be in the spirit of rebuke, such as a Paul. For one is given by the Spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one in self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will, or differently. And for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. But all being in Christ, he will bless all of his children. But they are to the necessity, but they will be spiritual gifts, but they will be blessed, and they will help temporarily in His will and in His gospel. Now, let's go forward to verse 24, is where I like to go there. And he talked about the differences in our congregation, or in the body of Christ. He says, those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need. God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. It's like, remember Paul said, when I am weak, then I am strong. Among the humblest, the Lord will may work. And Jesus even said, you know, even among your children I have given words. He said, but we should treat and have the same care one for another. If there's contention in this body, how's the Lord going to bless you or bless us? And Jesus said, the spirit of contention is not of me, but of the devil, who is the author of it. But he says here that there should be no schism in the body. And that's a spiritual division. A schism is a spiritual division. Come from contention and from covetousness and many of those things that are not of the Spirit of God. The schism in the body. Division. Spiritual division. But that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. We have the same care one for another. And I have to believe that as one is hurting in this body, we'd all be praying for them or helping them temporarily or coming to run to their aid. And you and I have seen it. We praise the Lord for it. And that is the way it should be. And, you know, it doesn't mean we don't have a disagreement once in a while. I'm talking about a disagreement, not a flat-out contention where people leave mad and divided and everything the matter. We've got to be careful and keep ourselves bridled. Contention, the Lord says, is not of me. But if there is a matter, we handle it lovingly, wisely, importantly, in the Spirit of Christ. Now, ye are the member of Christ, and members in particular, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I will show unto you a more excellent way. And he goes on into charity. And if we follow after charity, the Lord will bless his church with these gifts. The Lord will bless with these gifts. And so, we must be caring for the condition of our congregations. Is that true? Absolutely. We must care for the condition of our congregation. That means we must care for the condition of your individual souls. And if there's aught in your life and in your soul can affect the condition in this congregation in the level of blessings and the Spirit of the Lord that works among His people where two or three are gathered, I am in their midst. We must be concerned about keeping our Father's commandments that we may be blessed. We find that admonition that is given to us many times throughout the Scriptures, endlessly, keeping the commandments of God. Lehi talked to his sons to keep the commandments of God. Today we keep the commandments of Christ or of the Father. They are the will of the Father. They are the commandments given to Christ unto us. The will of the Father, that we may keep His commandments, the teachings of His Son. That is the gospel of the Father delivered to the Son, delivered to us. And through of His Holy Spirit, which brings wisdom and understanding and blessing. And keeping them, and keeping that righteous life, and the tenets of the gospel, of that faith, repentance, baptism, and receiving of His Spirit. Yes, those are keeping His commandments, that we may be blessed. That we may be blessed. Each life condition matters to all. Each life condition do matter to all. Each of us here, we say, you know, that we can do each of us what we want to do, and that's within the power of your decision, the power of your liberality, but can affect the workings in the body of Christ. It's important that that level of commandment keeping and so on and life condition is a personal vigilant responsibility as we are in the body of Christ. That's how we think of other people. It's how we even care for ourselves and what we have entering our lives or keep out of them. So we pray for gifts to be a help to others. Not that you may have them to do this, to do that, to maybe think of yourself more than others, to maybe have more pomp, maybe more circumstance, maybe more notoriety, maybe more well-known throughout the church. Not that you will not be not well-known, but well thought of. We praise the God that persons can be used. But not that you think of yourself more than others. Because that's going on beyond humbleness. And the Lord said, verily, you shall have your reward, but only here. He said, verily, they have their reward. Just like Paul talks about charity in 13th chapter there, sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. But they must be a partaker of the fruits, as Paul told Timothy. They must be a first partaker of those fruits, or an example. Here's another thought, that we talk about the gifts that are given to us to exemplify in the work, to be a blessing to the body, right? What's the greatest gift to all of us? I'm going to ask you that question right now. I'm going to wait for an answer, see if somebody... What's the greatest gift given to us?
Eternal life.
Pardon?
Eternal life.
That's very much to do with it. Anyone else want to take a try? What's the greatest gift given to us?
Christ.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You both were very sincerely right. Jesus Christ and the gift of eternal life. John 3:16. Turn with me there just for a moment, because that's let's see here now. John 3:16. And we're going to see here just why. Also, beyond this, I have another verse for us in your Book of Mormon. For God loved the world, so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son. He gave Him for us, the answer to the sinful condition of mankind. He gave Him to us, and He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So He's the author of eternal salvation. He is the author of your eternal life, the author and finisher of your faith. He is the greatest gift to mankind. We talk about spiritual gifts. He is the greatest spiritual gift. He is the greatest spiritual gift to you and I. Let's go from there and turn with me over into your Book of Mormon. I have one last verse here. In page 775, Book of Moroni, 10th chapter. Verse 7. Actually, let's go to verse 6. Whatsoever thing is good is just and true. Wherefore, nothing that is good denieth the Christ, but acknowledgeth that He is. And ye may know that He is by the power of the Holy Ghost. Wherefore, I would exhort you that you deny not the power of God, for He worketh by power, according to the faith of the children of men, the same today, tomorrow, and forever. And again I exhort you, my brethren, that you deny not the gifts of God, for they are many, and they come from the same God. And there are different ways that these gifts are administered, but it is the same God who worketh all in all. And they are given by the manifestations of the Spirit of God unto men to profit them. Behold, one to is given by the Spirit of God that he may teach the word of wisdom, and to another that he may teach the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another exceeding great faith, and to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, and again to another he may work mighty miracles, and again to another he may prophesy concerning all things, and again to another the beholding of angels and ministering spirits, and again to another all kinds of tongues, and again to another interpretation of languages and diverse kinds of tongues. All these gifts come by the Spirit of Christ, the author of it all. That greatest gift that was given. And they come unto a man, every man severally as he will. And I would exhort you, my beloved brethren, that you remember that every good gift cometh of Christ. And I would exhort you, my beloved brethren, that you remember that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that all these gifts which I have spoken, which are spiritual, never will be done away, even as long as the world shall stand, only according to the unbelief of the children of men. Wherefore there must be faith, and if there must be faith, there also must be hope. And if there must be hope, there also must be charity. And except ye have charity, ye can in no wise be saved in the kingdom of God. Neither can ye be saved in the kingdom of God if ye have not faith, neither can ye have no hope. And if ye have no hope, ye must needs be in despair. And despair cometh because of iniquity. We were reading this morning, weren't we, sister? Despair in our life can come because of iniquity. And it is an impedance or a logjam to your joy. And Christ truly said unto our fathers, if ye have faith, you can do all things which are expedient unto me. And now I speak unto all the ends of the earth, that if the day cometh that the power and gifts of God shall be done away among you, it shall be because of unbelief. And woe be unto the children of men if this be the case. For there shall not be none that doeth good among you, no, not one. For if there be one among you that doeth good, he shall work by the power and the gifts of God. And so we see that these things will be. We should believe that they are. They have not been done away, such as they were talking about. The Book of Mormon says that, and also in Timothy, there will be a day that they'll deny them. That they're done away. They were in the time past, but they're not here today. But yet, you know, you're supposed to believe in God and believe that He can save you and that He can bless you. It says that there shall be these gifts, but for the edification of the body, for the help spiritually, temporally, for the work of the gospel, for the furtherance in the body of Christ and the salvation of the souls of the children of men. We need to expect them, desire them, pray about them, pray for them, but that they would be a help to others, be a help to the body, and a furthering of the work of the gospel of Christ. So I thank you for your time and for your prayers and for your love this morning.